Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Ellie MacArthur, Henry Walker, and Eliza Lee. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines.
Via Rail, get your act together.
That was Councillor Brandon Tozzo at Tuesday night's City Council meeting following an eventful few weeks for rail travel in southeastern Ontario. In September, to accommodate the launch of a new nonstop express train between Toronto and Montreal, Via Rail announced it would be reducing the number of trains stopping in Kingston and other municipalities along the corridor. However, the company postponed the planned service reduction shortly after the announcement. This all comes after changes announced in March to Via Rail's earlier high-frequency rail proposal, which originally included establishing Kingston as a regional hub. These changes were also formally opposed by council. Mayor Brian Patterson brought a motion to council on Tuesday night aimed at not only securing Kingston's current level of rail service, but also improving it. The motion includes three key requests to Via Rail. The first two are that Via Rail commit to maintaining existing passenger rail service levels in Kingston, and commit to a forward-thinking plan for enhanced passenger rail service in Kingston, including upgrades to the existing station and predictable, improved service into and out of Kingston. Mayor Patterson elaborated on the reasoning behind the motion.
The purpose of this motion is twofold. Number one, I think it's important that we continue to work to preserve the level of service we have. And so to be clear, Via has made it as intending to still move ahead with these changes, just not at this point. So I don't think that we can shrink back and be complacent about this. But the second piece is that even with the status quo, I don't think that we should be satisfied with that status quo. And I think we've had those discussions around this table. I've heard many of you talk with the same passion and sometimes frustration that I have on this issue, because I see so much potential for what rail service could be to and from Kingston. I feel like there's a failure of imagination, a failure of an ambitious vision for rail service that I think would very much have the potential to transform a lot of travel through Eastern Ontario.
The motion is topped off with an action item, a request to investigate adding a late night train from Toronto.
And I think if we're talking about where we can improve service, let's start with a very tangible, practical example. I hear all of the time from people in this community about how they would love to take a train to Toronto to see a Jays game or a Leafs game or a show or even go to dinner or even a late meeting, and you simply cannot do that. The last train that departs back for Kingston, you have to be at the station by about 6 p.m. or shortly after. So one of the things that I think that there is tremendous opportunity for is a late evening train back from Toronto. So here's a great opportunity where we can grow Via's ridership, we can improve train travel. And so what we've agreed is that we will do our part in surveying the community and trying to get input about those who would be interested in late evening train.
Councillor Don Amos, who seconded the motion, didn't hold back his frustration with Via Rail's recent decisions.
At the end of the day, Via needs to really evaluate their business model, because if you look at your fourth largest station and you decide to not provide more service there, how badly do they really want to be in the customer service business and moving people across the country?
The motion received unanimous support from council, and so did the feeling of confusion and exasperation over the company's shifting plans.
Like, what is Via Rail thinking? I have no idea tomorrow. Like, I'm going to just open up the news and just be like, what is Via Rail doing? Are they just bypassing Kingston? Are they shutting down service and going bankrupt? I think the chaos that this has brought onto the community cannot be understated, because people don't know what services we're going to get a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. Imagine what rail service could be in Eastern Ontario. We're living between three large cities, and it is becoming incredibly inefficient to take rail service. You know, I've had my frustrations in the past with Via Rail. I cannot think of more of a time where I am more confused by the message an organization is setting out from a communications perspective to the community and to Eastern Ontario. I'm sorry I sound infuriated. This is one of those times where I'm actually really mad at it, at a Crown Corporation, not the first time, but where I'm just like I have no prediction of what's going on in the future.
A copy of the motion has also been sent to other municipalities that will be impacted by service reductions along the Montreal-Toronto corridor, including Port Hope, Cobourg, Belleville, Napanee, Gananoque, Brockville, and Cornwall.
We do need allies in this, but I think that if we can join forces and have a collective voice on this issue, then we can finally shift the conversation from cutting service to where we can actually add and improve service.
Councillor Connie Glenn added she would be bringing the motion forward to the Ontario caucus to get other municipalities involved. For now, Kingston's rail future remains on the tracks, but uncertain, as council, commuters, and neighbouring municipalities wait to see what Via Rail's long-term plans have in store. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Prologue ends, and the first scene begins, with a live ensemble of flutes, violin, fiddle, guitar, marimba, and cajon drum. The story they have to tell is that of the Dance School of Drama and Music's fall major production of Bertolt Brecht's The Caucasian Chalk Circle, directed by Professor Greg Wanless. This is Henry Walker with CFRC 101.9's Campus Beat, bringing you inside the rehearsal studio for an early look at this fall's Dance School major. Over the course of this rehearsal, the cast's first full run-through of the play, the magnitude of this production very quickly became clear, drawing on a wide range of disciplines, from puppetry and musical composition to movement and acting. The Caucasian Chalk Circle is a clear example of how the Dance School major blends theory and practice. As director Greg Wanless puts it,
"This is coursework, and in the drama department, our modus, or our motto really, is a combination of practice and theory."
And it wasn't hard to see this motto being fully embraced by the many students in this production, all filling different roles, ultimately learning and refining skills that both align with their personal interests as well as their academic and career goals. For composer and musical director Noah Allman, who wrote all the original music played in this production, he was given the opportunity to supplement his study and truly explore some of his interests.
"I've been composing for a very long time, and I now study composition at Queen's at what is offered at the highest level."
In terms of why Noah was brought into this production and where his compositions come from, Noah stated,
"This play, when it was written, had music that went with it for a lot of the songs that are in it, and the music was lost, and so every time this play is performed, somebody needs to write music to go with the lyrics and all that stuff. So I was tasked with writing a bunch of original music to go underneath those lyrics, which involves a lot of text setting and just many, many sleepless nights, that kind of thing, and as well as a bunch of underscoring music to fill in the gaps throughout the play. So all in all, there's about 25 minutes worth of music over the duration of the play, and it's been quite a project. The inspiration comes a lot from sort of traditional Georgian folk music mixed with sort of, you know, the neoclassical style. It's all very tonal. Really, I would just read the script and find the context and see what the words are and what are they really trying to communicate through this song. Is it a love song? Is it a lullaby? Are we sad? Are we joyous about something?"
Of all of Noah's songs, though, for him, one does stick out above all the rest.
"I think my number one, if we can pull it off, is going to be the Song of Chaos in Egypt. That is probably the loudest and biggest number. It is the final sort of song of the play. There's more music that occurs after that song, but that's sort of, if you will, the big number."
The Caucasian Chalk Circle is currently set to start its run of performances around November 13th. I've been Henry Walker with your Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9, bringing you an inside look at the fall Dance School major production of The Caucasian Chalk Circle. Part 2 of this story, featuring more interviews from the cast and crew, airs this Wednesday at the same time right here on CFRC 101.9.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Thanksgiving Monday, October 13th. Looking like it'll be a cloudy day here in the city of Kingston, but a little warmer than usual with a daytime high of 15 degrees, staying consistent overnight, only dropping down to 10. Tuesday, October 14th, warmest day of the week, daytime high of 19 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 6 overnight. That cool chill will stay in the air Wednesday morning, October 15th, daytime high of 12 degrees. Thursday, October 16th, daytime high of 10, dropping down to 2 degrees overnight. Moving towards the start of homecoming here at Queen's, Friday, October 17th, 12 degrees, overnight low of 4, and then Saturday, October 18th, homecoming football game between the Queen's Gaels and the Windsor Lancers. It's going to be 15 with a 56% chance of light precipitation at times, so a mix of sun and a little bit of rain clouds, otherwise a lovely day. Sunday, October 19th, daytime high of 17 degrees, 55% chance of rain, and then starting off next week, Monday, October 20th, daytime high of 16 degrees with a 57% chance of precipitation. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. The LaSalle Causeway will be closed to all motorists and pedestrians on October 14th from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Please make alternative travel arrangements. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity at 484 Albert. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Berry Street, King Street West to Stewart is closed October 14th to 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. to accommodate ongoing construction projects. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation. Johnson Street at Victoria, closed until October 24th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. Kings Court Ave, concession to First Ave, closed October 10th to November 21st for gas main installation. Queen Street, Wellington, and King westbound lanes will be closed October 14th to 17th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for the installation of new services. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence is closed October 14th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. to accommodate the removal of planters on Ontario Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 24th for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Tivoli Avenue closed at Midland and Sierra until October 17th for the installation of new services. Wellington Street, Queen to Berwick is closed October 14th to 17th from 7 to 7 for the installation of new services. Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of active transportation infrastructure. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Ave, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and some road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
This is Christina coming back in with your concerts and events calendars for this week. Starting with concerts today on Monday, October 13th, venues are taking a break, so enjoy a relaxing holiday. Tomorrow on Tuesday, October 14th, catch Canadian pop rocker Lauren Ash at the Broom Factory from 7:30 to 10 p.m. And Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam is back at the RCHA starting at 4 p.m. Roots Tuesdays hosts Noah Malcolm at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. And for a magical night of wizardry, the magical music of Harry Potter is live in concert at the Kingston Grand Theatre starting at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, October 15th, get ready for The Brains, Real Sickies, Screamin' Sins, Dense Dents, and Nocturnia at the Mansion, doors at 7 p.m. Frank Ryan plays at Musiki at 8 p.m. Johnny Kirwan at the Timeout Bar at 6 p.m. And finally on Wednesday, once again, open mic at the Wolf Island Hotel begins at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, October 16th, it's open season at the Hotel Wolf Island. Hugh Christopher Brown, Joey Wright, and Mason Mercer play 7:45 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Also on Thursday, the first of two hometown farewell shows for the Wilderness, supported by the CODAs, take place at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Susie Ungerleiter, three-time Juno and four-time Canadian Folk Music Award nominee, plays at the Cove Inn at 7 p.m. And catch Jam Night with Michael George at the RCHA from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. On Friday, October 17th, to kick off the weekend, you can see Saxabelle's Celebrating Women's History Month at the Academy Food and Drink from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. The second hometown farewell show for the Wilderness, supported by Red Fox, takes place at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Finally, on Friday, Love, Kennedy Rogers, and Dolly Parton tribute at the Spire, 7:30 p.m. To hear even more concerts coming up this week and our weekend lineup, be sure to tune in on Wednesday or check out our calendar at cfrc.ca. Diving into events for this week, catch the film Knife and Heart Stylish Erotic Horror Thriller Queer Film Screening at the Artery at 7:30 p.m. Everybody Loves Trivia, head to Something in the Water Brewing at 8 p.m. to get your fix. On Tuesday, October 14th, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, head to the Kingston Public Market and visit local food and craft vendors in Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. On Wednesday, October 15th, Hang and Jam with John Torres takes place at Rosewell Rehearsals from 1 to 3 p.m. Karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar is at 7 p.m. and karaoke at the Mansion is at 9 p.m. So grab your friends and pick some songs. On Thursday, October 16th, Queen's University homecoming events run from Thursday to Sunday. To find out about alumni class events, you can head to queensu.ca/alumni/homecoming. Kingston Symphony Warehouse's vinyl record sale runs from Thursday to Sunday from 4 to 8 p.m. And finally, theme trivia at Queen's Pub starts at 9 p.m. On Friday, October 17th, Queen's University Homecoming Friday Welcome is at Grant Hall from 1 to 6 p.m. And the JDUC opening celebration begins at 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Catch student band Last Call, as well as speeches from Principal Dean and more. Once again, for our weekend events, be sure to tune into the show on Wednesday or check out our events and concerts calendar at cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram. That wraps up your concerts and events calendar for this evening. Have an event you'd like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.